My goal is just to really encourage us today. But before I begin, I'd just like to just focus in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Today is a gift, and how we choose to use it really does matter to you. I thank you for the opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship you, and to learn from your word. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray that you will encourage and move us according to your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going to have a little audience participation today, but feel free to share some answers here. But what are some words you would use to describe the past 8 months? Just throw out some words to me.
Insanity.
What else?
Chaos.
Chaos.
Frustrating.
Uncertain.
Unprecedented.
Chance for growth. Yeah, I've had a lot of time to think about this, and I will say, when Pastor Dave asked me a little while back that I wasn't quite certain what I was going to talk about, but I just see this reoccurring thread, and I had a lot of time in the tractor cab and combine this fall just to think about what's going on in the world, and some of the words that I put down are ones that you had shared: chaotic, disappointing, frustrating, challenging, lonely, time of fearful, maybe for some. But what words would you use to describe the actions of others during this time? Throw some of those words out to me. Words that describe the actions of others that you've seen. Frightening. Frightening actions of others, sure.
Crazy.
Say that again.
Immature.
Some more loving. Yep, we've seen that. Very thankful for those caretakers in there. We've seen a lot of things. Those are all words that we could use to describe. Here's some that I wrote down. Any of you finding yourself becoming impatient? Yeah. How about hateful? See a little hate around us? Hypocritical? Loving? Serving? Giving? Intentional? Selfless? I think those are just some of those words that we could use to describe behaviors. Let me ask this. This is just yes or no, maybe with a show of hands. Is anyone tired of the arguing, complaining, and negative behavior that's around us? Amen. Okay. any feelings that of loneliness, disappointment, and helplessness maybe that you yourself has experienced over the last 8 months? Anybody felt that way? Or are you feeling that they're creeping in? Well, like many of you, I've wrestled with many of these feelings. I found myself becoming more impatient with the world around me. This past week, a friend posted on Facebook that they reached their social media breaking point. They were tired of all the complaining, bickering, and negativity, and they challenged others to stop and do something positive. I think it's safe to assume that most of us are there. Many have shut off the news channels and social media. I would say COVID-19 and the recent presidential election have many of us feeling emotionally fatigued. I think that's a word that my wife heard, and we talked about that yesterday, and I thought, oh, emotionally fatigued. I think that's a great description of where many of us are. We talk about uprooted routines, growing COVID exposures, fear of positive tests, restricted social activity, sick loved ones, canceled gatherings and events, isolation, loneliness, all contribute to the current frustration and feelings many of us are experiencing. But today I'm going to share a gift of a letter found in the New Testament written by Paul. Although this letter was written to the church he helped establish many years ago, I believe it will encourage us today as we navigate the end of 2020 navigate COVID-19 and beyond. Stressful situations can bring out the worst of people, and we have seen its ugly head rear up in plenty of ways the past 8 months. See, Paul was no stranger to difficulties and challenges, as he was arrested, beaten, and imprisoned for preaching the gospel. The letter was written while he was chained to a prison guard in Rome. Paul could have had plenty of reasons to be angry, frustrated, impatient, and bitter, but instead he reached out to those he loved and encouraged them to press on and find true joy in difficult circumstances. He longed to see this church family one more time as he loved them dearly. And as he put it in Philippians 4:1, the church whom I love and long for, he calls them my joy and my crown. He had a great love for the church in Philippi. See, Paul didn't know if he would ever see them again, so he wrote a letter with the hope that this group of believers would truly focus on what mattered, that they could find joy even while they experienced persecution. He desperately wanted them to experience the joy he had learned to possess in difficult times. Paul outlines some specific attitudes and behaviors that believers should focus on to bring joy in difficult times. My hope is that each of us find encouragement that I did as I prepared today's message entitled, Shine Like Stars. As I mentioned, I had some time in the tractor cab this fall, and we had a beautiful fall. I've got a chance to get some fall tillage done, which we normally haven't the last couple years. And I spent a couple weeks ago some time in the tractor cab disking some corn stalks. And let's see a show of hands of anybody that's spent some time in the fall disking corn stalks. Where are my farmers? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. For those that don't, just bear with me. But I love that time to think. I love that time to reflect. And at times, I love that time just to worship. I'll have the radio on, and it's just you and the ground and God and just those thoughts. It was a beautiful star-filled night that I'm going to share with you. The tractor light shined only a dozen yards in front of me. I had spent 7 hours previously in there, and it got to be dark. And I don't know about you, but I don't like this getting dark early. But I wanted to finish the field that I was in. And so I just found myself, as it got darker, that my focus had to intensify. I'm old school on our farm. I don't have a fancy GPS, so I can't read a newspaper and just plug it into the tractor and do that. But I'm one of those guys, if you drive by our fields, that you have kind of a wandering, meandering, just a gentle, leisurely stroll with that. And so at night, it gets a little bit more challenging. And so as it got darker, I had to focus a little bit harder to make sure that this width of the disc was keeping up with the edge of the freshly tilled soil. And so as the day goes on, you know, repetitive, you know, you hear the crunching of the stalks, you have the wonderful smell of the freshly turned soil. And I just know as it got dark, it was harder to focus. When it was light out, I could pick a focal point a quarter mile of away. I could pick a telephone pole, or I could pick a fence line post and keep my angle. And I could keep my eyes fixed up, and I could look at a distance to try to do my best to keep a straight line. But after dark, I began to lose that focal point, and the lights on our older tractor weren't that great. What was normally a quarter mile visibility now became just feet, 20, 30 feet in front of the tractor. But then it happened. Coming over a small ridge, I noticed a set of eyes reflecting back at me, and in just a flash of a second, a huge buck appeared in the path of my tractor. He walked into the light of the tractor, stood tall as if to taunt me, just for a brief second, looked at me, and then ran off into the darkness. I'll have to say that I was a bit startled. I was a bit in a trance after those round after round after round. I kind of got lulled to sleep, and I was just focusing on the edge of the freshly tilled soil and wasn't really looking ahead of me. You might ask, why would I even share that story with you? But the reason I share that with you is I believe it's a picture of what's happening around us in this world today. Our country is divided. new virus is impacting our daily schedules and lives. It seems like the new norm is shame and blame, hate and anger. A growing segment that believes these attitudes and behaviors are acceptable. It seems many are losing their way. It'd be safe to say that we need a buck in the headlight experience to wake us up and help us refocus. I'm thankful for Paul as he wrote Philippians. It's in chapter 2 that he provides the buck in the headlight moment for the church. He refocused an entire church by changing their focal point. No more wandering in the dark. Push bitterness, anger, negativity, and hate aside, and replace it with a new focal point. No more veering off track. Time to straighten your path. Keep your eyes focused on two things, and you will find joy. So that's my focus today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd love to have you open up your Bible to Philippians 2, starting with verse 1, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. Hear the words that Paul writes. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same joys, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that is, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Today I'm just going to focus on two things, not like these two steps and everything's going to be perfect. But I want you to understand that as I looked into this, that Paul, when he wrote Philippians, I learned this week that there was over 40 times that he mentioned the word joy. I think he wanted to get our attention, wanted to get the attention of the church, of the importance of joy. Here's a guy that was bound in chains, and had lots of reasons to maybe be angry and bitter, as I mentioned. But there was a lot to digest in just those 11 short verses. But there are four things that Paul points to. And if you look at the title of that chapter, it says, Imitate Christ's Humility. These five things that I'm going to share with you, or four things I'm going to share with you, support that. To imitate Christ's humility. So he takes us on this journey a little bit. Philippians 2:2, it says, Be united in mind, love, spirit, and purpose. How many have heard the phrase, United we stand, divided we fall? Yeah, Paul writes about this in the first chapter of Philippians. He just urged this family that he loved, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Whether I come to you in person or just hear about you, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He wanted to keep that in front of the church that he loved, his crown and jewel. Keep the big rock, the big rock. Be united, stand firm together. The second thing that he shares in imitating Christ's humility is consider others better than yourselves. I don't know, but when things get stressful and the world kind of turns and you get angry and impatient, I've struggled with that. And I know personally that I've had to pause and ask the Father to help me to see those that frustrate me, to see them the way that God sees them. I like what Joyce Meyer says. As believers, we should look differently. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. As believers, as followers of Jesus, we need to look differently. And sometimes when I see what's going on around me, that I'm thankful for Paul's reminder. I need that too. How are we doing with that? Are we considering others better than ourselves? What about those specifically that don't think or believe the same way that we do? Am I really, truly considering them better than myself? Paul continues in Philippians 4. He says, look beyond yourself. What a great encouragement. And he used the example of Timothy. In Philippians 2, later in verse 21, he says, I have no one else like him. And he was referring to Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. See, Timothy, and I believe Epaphroditus, if I've got the name correctly, were the messengers to and from the church in Philippi. And Paul was excited to have Timothy return to just share more with the church, and he wanted to keep that communication open. But according to Paul, Timothy was that example of someone that took a genuine interest in the well-being of others. And lastly, in our instruction to be like Christ, in Philippians 2, 7 through 9, this sums it up. It says, but Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He ends with that in those first few verses, that we are to serve like Jesus. As you know, in the New Testament, we see many examples, but I don't think there's anything greater being obedient to the death on the cross. But I think of John 13, when Jesus is having a last meal with his followers before he goes to the cross. And what he did, he humbled himself and he washed their feet. And after doing that, Jesus said this, now that I have washed your feet, I have set an example that you should do as I've done for you. See, Jesus is our model. Paul was great to remind the church that we are here to serve like Jesus. I love what Chuck Swindoll says. A community of believers living in harmony with one another comes only through mutual humility modeled after the Savior. Let me say that again. A community of believers living in harmony with one another comes only through mutual humility modeled after the Savior. And just this week, it's kind of interesting as you begin to think on different verses, how God can bring different people or different sayings into your path. I heard this from a TV preacher. It says, you cannot separate love from serving. God knows what you need. So get busy being a blessing to someone. Ask God to show you who you can help today. I thought that was great. God knows exactly what we need. So get busy being a blessing to someone. I think that fits that looking beyond ourselves and serving like Jesus. So imitating Christ's humility. I was also introduced to a song this week. I don't know if anyone's heard of the song Revolutionary by Josh Wilson. Has anybody heard that? I had not heard it this week. I want you to Google it. But we got this cute little Alexa thing that I won a year ago from the Franklin REC, and every morning I can eat my breakfast and, hey, Alexa, play me some Christian music. And it's great. I love it. But on that, this song Revolutionary, and I should have played it today, but I wrote down a few of the lyrics, but I would encourage you to look at it. But I think it's just perfect of kind of where we're at. And Josh writes this. It says, Revolutionary. Maybe you're not like me, maybe we don't agree. Maybe that doesn't mean we gotta be enemies. Maybe we just get brave, take a big leap of faith. Call a truce so me and you can find a better way. Let's take some time, open our eyes, look and listen, and we're gonna find more alike than we are different. Why does kindness seem revolutionary When did we let hate get so ordinary? Wow. Why does kindness seem revolutionary? When did we let hate get so ordinary? Let's turn it around, flip the script. Judge slow, love quick. God, help us get revolutionary. And then what many of us have done, I'm turning the TV down, drowning their voices out, because I believe that you and me can find some common ground. See, maybe I'm not like you, but I'll walk a mile in your shoes if it means I might see the world the way you do. What would Jesus do? He would love first. He would love first. What would Jesus do? He would love first. Yeah, he would love first, so we should love first. Revolutionary. I thought that was great. Fitting. I found that to be an encouragement of just the power of love and taking time and listening and just not dividing but coming together and uniting. It's imitating that humility of Christ, that servant attitude. And the second thing that I believe that Paul wanted the church to do is found in the verse. And I don't know if you saw it on the front of the bulletin cover, but the title of the message today, Shine as Stars. So I'm going to read in Philippians 2, going from verses 12 to 18. And I want you to listen closely to what Paul has to say. He wants us to shine like stars, but what do we need to do that? So starting in verse 12. Shining as stars. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Wow, kind of sounds like today, doesn't it, a little bit? Crooked, depraved. In which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Or some versions will say, hold fast to the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Paul goes on to write, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service from coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. But he puts that out there, shining like stars. On that night when I was out in the tractor cab, it was a beautiful moonlit night. Although I couldn't see in front of me, but the stars shined brightly. This last year, I've probably viewed more of the heavens than I have in the previous 20-some years since we just moved out to the acreage. But I love the fact that God lights up even the darkest sky. Light in a dark place is just so awesome. But did you catch what Paul said? No complaining or arguing, Philippians 2:14. But why should we not complain or argue? He goes on to write, so that we may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Not much has changed from the time Paul walked this earth to where we're at today. We live in a broken, imperfect world, don't we? But he's encouraging us. I happened to run across this. I don't know if someone shared it with me or what. It might have came from a social media post. I think someone had texted to me. It says, make sure you test positive for faith. Keep your distance from doubt and isolate yourself from fear. Trust God through it all. How are we doing through this test? What are we testing positive for? Is our faith shining brightly? But I'm also thankful for people like Pastor John Piper. He helped me understood. I wasn't quite sure what it meant to hold fast. And here's what he writes. It says, in order to shine like stars in the universe, you need to hold fast to the word of God. Holding fast translates into a word that means to hold your position or hold your gaze. Just like I held my gaze as I was disking corn stalks on that telephone pole, on that fence post. I was gazing on that. I had it fixed on that. In Timothy 4:16, he writes, holding fast could be translated by keeping a close watch on yourself. In Acts 3:5, it could be translated that he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something. And later on in Acts 19:33, he gave an example that Paul stayed or held his place in Asia for a while. So the idea of holding fast with your attention or with your person can also mean holding your gaze or holding your position. So what he's saying here is hold your gaze on the word of life. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Hold your position with the word of life. Do not leave the word of life. In Psalm 1, 2 through 3, we're reminded that our delight is to be in the law of the Lord and that we're to meditate on it day and night. It gives this picture of that we will be like trees planted by streams of water that yields fruit in season and its leaves never wither. In all that we will do, we will prosper. Isn't that a great picture? Especially after going through a dry season. We didn't have any water running out of our tiles. But a tree positioned on a riverbank, its roots would run deep. It would drink often of the water running through. But delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating it on it day and night, gives us that picture that we will yield fruit constantly. We will not wither, we will not die, and all that we do will prosper. And I like the way that John Piper shares this. The way we shine as lights in a dark culture is by holding fast to the word. This is the way God has decided, the way we shine as lights in a dark culture is by holding fast to the word. He says, hold your gaze on it. Hold your position in it. Stay with it. He reminds us that Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In John 6:68. As if he was saying, we're going nowhere away from your word. We're holding our position here. We're holding our attention on your word. Continues to write, life and power and health and fruitfulness are mediated from God through his word. This is the way God has decided to do it. If we stay away from his word, our light will grow dim. The word is the fuel of our lamps. You shine by holding fast the word. You shine by holding fast the word. The word is the fuel of your lamp. Don't starve the wick of your lamp by not soaking it in the kerosene of the word. Keep your wick in the word. Hold it fast. And he ends with this. God has a gift for you. An infinitely valuable gift. His word. Receive it. Hold it fast. Give it to yourself. So today, my encouragement is there's no doubt that the world can be a dark place. Our attitudes and our behaviors matter. Thankful for Paul's example today just to encourage me because I confess I needed an attitude adjustment. I needed a refocus. And it's hard. Sometimes it feels like you're alone in that and it's really easy to jump on that bandwagon and we all fall short. But I love the fact that Paul has that mentality that a guy that had been beaten and imprisoned that just had this never give up attitude to press on towards the prize, towards the goal that's set before him. And I love that. I've always been a cheerer for the underdog. You know, pick yourself up. Let's keep fighting. But I'm going to close with this today. And this is a prayer that he wrote for the Philippians. I'm just going to ask a couple questions. And if you said yes to one or more of these questions, I think it's an appropriate prayer that we can pray today. Do you think we need a little bit more love to abound around us today? Can we use a little bit more love around us? I think so. Can we use additional knowledge and insight to discern what's best during this time? Yeah. Is it our desire to be pure and blameless when Jesus returns? Like I said, if we said yes to one or more of the above, I think it's an appropriate prayer. So I'd like to share that with us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, my prayer is that love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Father, we want to shine like stars. Unite us in spirit and purpose. Help us to take a genuine interest in others. Help us to serve like you modeled for us and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Prayer that we can still pray today. And as we enter Thanksgiving week, we have a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful for this church family. I'm thankful that there are stars shining in this church body. As I look out over the church family, this matters to you. Your faith matters to you. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't. It's not easy. But God wants us to shine like stars. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. There's plenty of opportunities. So maybe this Thanksgiving, if it looks a little bit different for you, you're not maybe gathering with the family that you'd like to be with, we might need to get creative in ways that we can reach out, like Paul reached out to someone. He was chained to a guard. He longed to be with those that he loved. Didn't get to. But how are we this week going to reach out to someone? How can we be a light to someone that might be struggling? I have a hope box or a memory box that my wife gave me several years ago, and I just kind of put notes of encouragement that I've received over the years of ministry. And from time to time, I'll open that up and just read those notes of affirmation and encouragement that I've received. Powerful. I don't know about you. It's great to get a text. It's great to get a phone call. I'm still old-fashioned. There's nothing better than a handwritten note. Maybe this week it might be simple as writing a note to someone. It could be a coworker, could be a family member, could be a phone call. Let's encourage one another. Let's continue to shine as stars. And most importantly, I think during this time, I think the biggest takeaway is that we need to hold fast to the word. As John Piper wrote, the word is the fuel of our lamps. Don't starve the wicks of our lamps by not soaking it in the word. Take time. Meditate on it day and night. I don't know about you, but my desire is to drink deeper and longer than what I do. That meditate day and night, I fall short. But the promise is if we do that day and night, our circumstances may not change, but I think our attitudes and behaviors will. We are created to be bright lights, to serve and reflect and imitate Christ. With that, I'd like you to receive the benediction. And this is taken from Philippians 4:4-9. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, faith family, brothers and sisters, go and shine like stars, and have a blessed Thanksgiving. Amen.